Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, we're live from Phoenix. Dennis Prager's going to be up with us, and we're going to play a live Rotten Tomatoes game. Always fun. First, Simply Safe. It's like commercial-grade security for your home, everybody. If there's a break-in, they'll use real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account. They dispatch up to 350% faster than normal burglar alarms. They have outdoor cameras. They have entry cameras. And motion sensors as well. They have glass break sensors. Plus, Simply Safe protects from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide. It covers you all the way around, all monitored 24/7 by their live security professionals. Set it up yourself, no tools needed, or they can do it for you. Only 50 cents a day, 50 cents a day for peace of mind with no contracts. You always go with Simply Safe. The batteries last up to 10 years, peel and stick, no pulling wires. It's the best. Two eyes. Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Go to simplysafe.com/Adam today and get a free Simply Safe security camera, normally $100. Go today and it's free. It will help you capture crucial evidence for the police and get 350% faster dispatch. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam.
Support for the Adam Carolla podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home, and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Harkins Theater in Scottsdale, Arizona, for the premiere of No Safe Spaces, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game, and audience questions for Q&A. So now, putting the ace in No Safe Spaces, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on. I'm sure it's good to get on, man, get on. Thanks for coming out, those of you who came out. It's a little lighter crowd than we're normally used to dealing with, but I think people are going to file in to see the movie as we go on. That's Gina Grad over there. That's Bald Brian over here. Good day. Yes, we're here for No Safe Spaces. Thank you guys very much.
Bald Brian is not on sound effects.
Bald normally is on sound effects, but what happened, Bald Brian?
There's some cable mix-up. We don't know what the problem was, but we're going to plow through. It's like an unplugged show. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Think like a town hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Air your grievances one by one.
We're doing like, yeah, we're doing like a Kurt Cobain kind of Nirvana unplugged, because I'm going to kill myself later in my hotel room. So
I do have a very important question. Mm. Do these seats recline because they look like they do?
Oh, badass.
Oh, God, that's awesome.
I got to tell you, movie theaters, it's kind of interesting, but, I never thought about this, but movie theaters have been getting better as airplanes have been getting worse.
Yeah,
like,
true.
If you took a look at a movie theater in 1974, that was just basically a folding chair with a little bit of foam rubber on it.
Yeah, and the aisle was down the middle, right where the best seat should be.
A loud projector. Right.
And airplanes, plenty of room for your legs
stretch
and
out.
A napkin.
Three-course meal.
Four-course dinner, yeah.
Now I got to get a running start to get into my airplane seat. I lube myself up with... it's a water-soluble lube, but it's a non-sexual thing. And I dive at my seat if it's by the window. And now airplanes or movie theaters are full recline, yep. Cup holders,
beautiful.
Massage going on. So with less regulations. Yeah,
that's they deregulated the theater industry.
That's right. They fired all the air traffic controllers and projectionists. And so you guys are here to see the movie. You're also here to see us. And we have, thank you. We have questions. We have questions in the audience, which I think we'll get to at some point. We just got off a Southwest flight here. I don't know if you guys are interested in this facet of life, but I am very interested in this facet of life. When we're in Burbank and we're getting onto the plane where you get to go walk. I know Burbank's kind of a nice airport because before you get onto the plane, you get to do that move they do in the American Airlines commercials where the pilot does the walk around. Mm-hmm. You get to actually walk around the airplane. Right. I like to kick the tires, check the impellers.
Check for scratches.
Make sure the flaps and rudders are in good shape, you know. And then you get on the plane.
You're like
Fletch. All bearings.
I walked out of the airport, and as I was walking onto the tarmac, I said to the person, "Is the flight full?" And the guy said, 100% full flight. And then I walked 28 feet and I got on the plane. And the person who works on the plane said, "There's about 40 open seats."
Yeah, it's a different story.
Okay. I'm not sure why the information doesn't make it from that employee to that employee.
But just to be clear, you said, "Thank you very much for your time, ma'am," and moved on? Or did you scream, "We'll tell the idiot at the gate"? Because I was right next to you, and I think that's what I heard.
To be fair to me, I may yell, "Tell the fat idiot at the gate," because the guy was heavy set. But either way, I just like a little... Look, I will accept "I don't know" from
sure
the fat
yet.
Idiot at the gate, but 100% full, no. So it made that walk very depressing for me. We flew over here. They've gotten rid of the peanuts, and now we're left with the miniature stale pretzels. Really, they've taken everything that's good about a pretzel, and they essentially took what is best. It's like if you a pretzel at a ball game, the big...
Mm.
Moist,
soft, mustardy,
warm, mustardy one.
Those big salt rocks on top.
It's like, with the mustard, and you have to tear it a little bit. Yeah. Like it's a little stretch.
And it could be steaming a little bit.
Hold that weird wax paper around. It's a little hot for your hand. It's like if somebody invented a shit ray, and they went, "We're going to take the ballpark pretzel and we're going to shoot it with this shit ray. We're going to shrink it down. We're going to make it super hard. Keep the salt will be the same size. It'll just be the size of a quarter and rock and a little harder than a quarter. I actually think I could get a quarter apart easier than I could get a pretzel. And then we'll do a Southwest flight. We'll put on there. What do you got? Oh, we got lady in red hat works for Southwest.
What? We got questions.
No.
This is
we sure hope you have answers.
This is
you guys, you caved. You caved. You got rid of the peanuts. You had peanuts. You were the only.
Honey roasted peanuts.
I am so sorry. The employees want them back.
They do.
They fought hard.
Ooh.
Not hard, but California, everybody's allergic to them.
It's
California. Yeah.
No offense.
I know.
Adam, 100% true story about today's flight. Jeannie, you can verify this. Well, you may have been asleep when they came around with the pretzels. The lady just handed it to me. Of course, I'm looking at my phone to look up. I grab them like, Hands them right back.
Right back.
Oh, yeah. That's very insulting.
And the reason they're stale is because everybody hands them back.
Hands them back. Right.
But I brought you a gift.
Yeah.
I brought you a gift.
Yeah, my...
now we're talking.
My pretzel Mylar sack looked like... Remember in Bugs Bunny when he'd hit a home run and it'd go around the world and get all those stamps on it, like a steamer trunk? That's what my Mylar sack looked like. I got to tell you, you guys...
Oh, my
Southwest,
goodness.
You were the... Oh, you were the last bastion to hang on. I just got 500 drink tickets.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Thank you. That's from our producer, Justin.
Those are expired.
Why don't you give Artie Lang some heroin while you're at it? Because that's essentially what you just did to me.
Do the flight attendants have a very fast and loose relationship with the expiration date on those?
Some do. Some are kind of particular about it. We're supposed to look at the expiration date.
Right.
We have ghostwriters that, you know, actually will fly us every
now
and then.
Secret shoppers?
Yeah, like the mystery secret, shopper.
Yep. You call them ghostwriters?
Yeah.
Ghostwriter.
And I'm a single woman, and these eyelashes cost a lot. So I sometimes look at the coupon just in case.
How do you be like a secret shopper on Southwest? Like you show up. You show up in khakis and are like, come on, Frank, no one's going to buy this.
They give you a uniform, it's sweats.
Cut off your sweats and put on one flip-flop and a wife beater and a MAGA hat. No one's going to buy you and your khakis and your shirts all tucked in.
The supervisor comes over and is like, Fred, can I smell your breath? Have you not been drinking?
No, I'm sorry. It's 8 a.m.
Why don't you go home?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Have a cocktail.
I didn't want to be made. I didn't know. I'm sorry. Yeah. By the way, does there need to be an expiration mark on a sack of something that was never really born?
It was never
fresh.
You
know what I mean? Like it was never alive.
Never fresh.
It was a fetus that was never viable. Sorry, but I know. So Southwest is smart because they got everyone going with the peanuts. Remember the simple, and it would have been about now. You'd know it. Remember the simple pleasure of traveling about now, somewhere in October, mid-October, heading into the holidays and thinking, I wonder if they've switched to the honey roasted.
Yeah.
Remember that simple bygone pleasure? Like,
that was a big day.
Here she comes down the aisle. Might they be honey roasted? Don't know. We don't know when the date is, but
the
we got our fingers crossed.
Me.
Yes, I don't know when that date was. What was the honey roasted date? Into the mic, please. Pretend you're yelling at someone to sit down or stop vaping. Yeah. Can you please do tampering with, disabling, or destroying
question, yes or no.
The vaping machine is not. Just pretend you're doing that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I apologize. Yes. No, we're not sure, but it's somewhere around October that they were supposed to come out, and we all waited with bated breath.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge day in my life when the honey roasted would switch over.
You know,
hey,
you made it.
Can we do this thing? You know, you're Southwest gal. Can we do the move? Like, I know they do that move where they put on the seatbelt light because they're getting ready to land. By the way, every Southwest flight I've been on, they're either taking off or landing. There is no really mid-flight, you know what I mean? It's either we're hitting, like, sir, we're still taking, please sit down, the seatbelt. And then it's like, that guy stands up, like, sir, we're landing now, you're going to need to sit down. It's just one big, it's a vomit comet, it's one big arc. You never really flatten out, do you? We're either going up or we're going down.
You only fly Southwest to Vegas and Phoenix.
That's all I do, and it's like, there's a 45-second window where you get to stand up where
you're
leveled
altitude.
Off, and then we're going down. Here's my new thing. And there's that thing where sometimes there's two or three people and they're moving around, and it's like everyone needs to be back. Can we just start issuing people who get on the flight hats with numbers? Like dunce caps with numbers. And be like, 13, 13, going to have to ask you to go ahead and sit. Because sometimes you're up and there's a guy behind you or someone in front of you. You don't know.
Ooh.
I say everyone gets a dunce cap with a number.
Have you ever been the victim of the passive aggressive? Like you get up to go to the bathroom and it's like, we are still, we're still
cruising. Active taxiway.
We're still cruising. We're not yet cruising. So please return your seat. But they don't say it to you, but they're saying it to you.
Right. And that's why we need the numbered hats.
Yeah. Hey, you 12, sit down.
And then you can start customizing it. Like, hey, 57, looks like you put on a few pounds since I saw you in Phoenix 4 months ago.
Or the opposite. I noticed you didn't need that extended seatbelt today. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
A big mazel tov to you.
Yes. Another thing I'm noticing about Southwest is not so much tomfoolery from the person doing the announcements. Is that me? I used to look forward as a comedian.
That was a staple.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to Lost Wages. What happened to that person? Or did they tell you to cool it on the small talk, on the funny talk?
No, but a lot of it is repetitive. The same stuff is over and over. So I don't think we have too many clever people anymore that have come up with new stuff. But if you sit at the emergency exit, a lot of times you get one-on-one.
Tableside comedy.
Yeah, you get a lot of conversation going there if you sit at the emergency exit. At least with me, you do.
All right, so theater's bigger, plane smaller, Southwest, fine. And we got a couple of MAGA hats here today. I don't think you could wear... You guys don't think you could wear a MAGA hat in L.A., could you?
I mean,
I wouldn't advise it.
Well, Halloween's coming up.
I don't know. Do you think you could wear a MAGA hat for Halloween, though? Like, you can't go... I couldn't go like, hey, I'm going to Sammy Davis Jr. this year. Where's the shoe polish? Like, it's Halloween. Like, well, I mean, you couldn't... I'm saying you couldn't do that in L.A., right?
No, you could not.
No, you could not.
I mean,
not.
You'd be taking your life in your own hands.
Oh!
Yeah. Not your life.
What if hold on a second. What if I went as Justin Trudeau in blackface?
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Like, topical.
I'm going as Justin Trudeau in an unfortunate phase of his life. You think I could do that?
Very specific.
I'd be yelling that while someone was kicking the crap out of me.
I'm Justin Trudeau.
I'm going as Justin Trudeau.
Canada's hero. One,
the Arabian Nights party.
Yeah.
All right. So do you work? Oh, you don't have the mic anymore. Do you work as a... I'm scared to call anyone anything anymore. A stewardess,
flight attendant,
a person. They got rid of men and women, ladies and gentlemen. They got rid of that on the Air Canada flight.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Dennis Prager, who you'll see behind me.
Not familiar with that name.
You'll see him behind me on the screen about 40 minutes. Dennis kind of brings up a good point, which is if you're transgendered or transsexual or transitioning or a trans-am or whatever you are, and you're moving over, you're still a lady or a gentleman.
Yeah.
Like, who isn't a lady or a gentleman? Like, who exactly, that flight are you offending?
I've recently become more educated on this because in my comedy class, there was a transgender classmate, and it's non-binary, so you're not lady or gentleman. You are any number of, things.
But if you're transgender, if you're a man and you're becoming a woman, aren't you still a woman?
Hold on. Anyone should know about this, it's Mr. X on his new driver's license. That is what
I didn't have an X.
How do you identify? Lady or gentleman?
You don't identify.
Well, I just did that as a goof. I was
made your son laugh.
I was getting my license renewed in Monterey, California when I was doing a car race over there because I hate fossil fuel and vulcanized rubber. And I was over there and I brought my son who's 13 and I was like filling out the stupid kiosk computer thing and there were like male, female, or X, and my son, because he sprung from my loins, he said, hey, why don't you hit X? And I said, yeah, it's a good idea.
See what happens.
I should take advice from 13-year-olds for everything. And I just clicked X. And then when I got to the window, there's a bunch more paperwork to fill out because I clicked X. But you have a person in your class. Mm-hmm. They're transitioning.
Non-binary.
Not transitioning. I don't believe... He was born a man. I don't believe they desire to have surgery and become a woman, but they choose to identify. I fuck that thing up all the time. They choose to identify as non-binary. You know what I mean? Like they're not
a man or a woman.
They're non-declarative.
Uh-huh. Okay. For sure, the funniest person in the class.
They were pretty funny.
Really?
They were pretty funny, yes.
I usually think of those people as super angry douchebags.
Was it self-effacing?
You know, yeah, I was going to say, Adam, you know why they were funny? Because they didn't take themselves too seriously. Like, I kept fucking up the pronoun. Like, yeah, who cares? You know, like,
but how can you?
And like, one of their jokes was, I identify as, I use the pronouns them, they, this, that, and the other. You know, like, they weren't too precious about it.
I get it, but it's a weird thing to strive for. And by the way, can you imagine talking to people about someone in your comedy class and then a few years ago and you're going, they did this joke and they did that joke, and you go, oh, it's a comedy team.
Like, no. Yeah. Smothers Brothers.
Just one ass wife. Yeah. All right. So stewardess.
I will always be a stewardess.
You'll always be a stewardess.
I will always be a stewardess. Yes.
I want to know about this airline secret shopper thing. How many can you spot them? Like I sat on a flight like
furiously taking notes
15 years ago. By the way, if I'm going to do the secret shopper thing for an airline, there must be at least a business class. Like at some point I got to take that yeah. first spin.
Sure.
I did fly on a flight once years ago, and I was sitting in first class, and I had this guy sitting next to me, and he looks like, you ever see that, everyone has that loser cousin who like works at a muffler shop, and every once in a while there's a funeral, like Nana died, and they have to stuff themselves into an ill-fitting sport yeah. jacket, and they're sitting there sweating, right. looking all uncomfortable, and the guy was sitting next to me, and I said, hey, what business are you in? And he goes, sales. And I went like, oh, what do you sell? And he goes, okay, I'm an air marshal. You got me. And I'm like, wow.
You really turned the screws to him.
I didn't have to waterboard you very long to bust your ass wide open on that, did I? I guess he probably thought I was the guy for the man show and yeah. he could give it up. But
you're not a threat.
Also, where are the air marshals? Are they still around?
I would imagine so. Right?
That's a question
yes,
for the...
Yes, but they're still around? Attendant.
I think they're mostly...
Yes, they are.
You're an air marshal?
I'm not, but we do still have...
You still
air.
Have them?
Not as many as since 9/11. But.
Aren't they mostly yeah. on international flights or like long-haul flights?
Yes.
Yeah, well, initially what gave the marshals away was the horse. And that's...
yeah, that was ill-conceived.
That was ill-conceived, but I was like, you're a marshal. You got to be on a horse. Come on now. You got to get a posse going.
Did you ever know that I was a secret shopper?
I did know you yeah. were a secret shopper.
For Jack in the Box. They have Jack in the Box out here, right? Yeah. A secret shopper for the Jack in the Box.
Well, so tell us some of your duties. And speaking of duties, what were the duties like after eating Jack in the Box?
Totally coincidentally, this is around the time I put on a lot of weight.
Oh, yeah.
This was right around
the time. How does secret shopper for a Jack in the Box work?
So I was poor, obviously. Otherwise I wouldn't be doing secret shopping for Jack in the Box.
Right.
So I would, you know, time it or, you know, try and time my routes for when I had to eat, because I would eat Jumbo Jacks and whatever, you know, whatever was for. What happened was their corporate headquarters are in San Diego, and they would assign me to an area. And my area was like the Inland Empire, like Chino, mm-hmm. you know, that area. Azusa, shit like that. That's inland of LA. And they would give me like four restaurants, they call them restaurants, four Jack in the Box to hit in one go. And I would go from one to the other, tell exactly what to order, whether drive through or walk up. Like mm-hmm. they wanted to test all of their facilities. They'd go in the bathroom, see how it looks, like, you know, act like a regular customer. And I'm like, okay, regular customers don't hang out at Jack in the Box, but
right.
okay. And then I did that for like a year and a half.
So how much does being a professional snitch pay?
It was good money back in 2001 or whatever it was. It was probably like $12 an hour.
All right.
For, again, 2001.
And here I am like an idiot nude modeling for $12 an hour.
Yeah.
It sounds sexy and prove prestigious.
It. It was neither. It was neither of those things.
All right. So we have some news to do. We have the... we're going to play the game, right? We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Yeah.
We'll explain to you guys how to play the Rotten Tomatoes game as well, because I'm guessing this isn't our regular crowd, but that's all right. I think we can play four people. Do we have, I don't know if we have any swag to give away. Do we have a t-shirt?
Make it interactive.
We have a ballpoint pen to give away.
Yeah.
We have a buck slip to give away. We have many other things. What is your route, your Southwest route? What's your, you out of Burbank, you out of Phoenix?
You're out of here.
Out of Phoenix. Where do you go? Where do you go mainly? You go to the East Coast. Mm-hmm.
West of Denver is my no-fly zone.
You get like snowbirds and stuff. East Coasters come out here for
I like seasonal. The Long Island people, the New Yorkers, and you know, I like East Coast people. The West Coast is a little more sensitive.
How dare you?
The peanuts were just because of fake peanut allergies that all the pussies have.
Correct.
And they're all from California. We had
actually Southwest said that in the press release.
It's kind of
California, so I grew up in San Diego, so no offense.
It's you affiliated with the Jack in the Box Corporation.
I knew I knew you.
it's kind of diabolical because Southwest gave out peanuts and everyone liked the peanuts, and then they switch to the miniature pretzels, which is like, I don't know, climbing out of a hot tub and diving into a snowbank in terms of snacking. Like, if you guys could have just made a move to Bugles or Doritos, we would be rejoicing right now. But you had to go to the snack. Basically, you know what you serve for a snack? You serve for a snack what people pick out of other snacks. Exactly. When they're eating stuff that has peanuts and carob chips and other stuff, they pick the miniature things out, and then you guys go ahead and put them in a Mylar sack.
You know what they should go with?
Hmm.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
No allergies. Yeah. No one dislikes it. Cheap. Right.
Oh, that's great.
Look at you just pandering to the theater crowd, Brian. Come on.
I'm all right.
Such an ass kisser.
Yes.
I'm saying it's diabolical what Southwest did, because what Southwest did is they went peanuts, and then they went with something that nobody likes, and now everyone just passes on it, and you guys spend zero in snacks every year because everyone passes on the snacks.
You are eating 15-year-old pretzels.
Easily. Easily.
Yeah. I would have gone over.
Yeah. Some of that stuff is surplus from the Korean War conflict. Yes.
I have a very important question, hotly debated my entire adult life. We have to talk about water tanks on planes. I'm talking coffee. I'm talking tea. I'm talking ice cubes. Can you please set the record straight? Do we all have Ebola?
Probably.
Okay.
I'm sure I have it, but don't order the coffee. Don't order the hot tea. Just read an article. Yeah. Don't do that. Cubes are good.
Ice cubes are okay.
We're okay with cubes.
All right. Okay with cubes.
So give us a hack for Southwest. Give us just something maybe most people would know, maybe a little tip, something for our journey home. Like, when you're on Southwest, I always remember to blank or never blank.
Never give the stewardesses shit.
Exactly. Just say hello.
Okay.
Yeah. Just say hello.
That's the worst hack ever.
That's really bad.
Thank you.
I'll do nothing with that. That is...
You're the worst guest we've ever had.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Mike, no rebookings. I'm not even going to give the name of your book. No, I know. You know the problem with all of life? There is no real hack. Like, when you talk to the personal trainer and you go, come on, man, give me the skinny, pardon the pun. Like, what's the lowdown? They go... A lot of exercise, a lot of jicama, a lot of push-ups, a lot of water. And you're
weights.
No, I'm looking for something more fudge-centric. And they're like, yeah, no, a lot of push-ups. And when you talk to a cop and you go, how do you get out of a ticket? Come on, give me the secret
Don't speed.
The secret handshake.
What's the secret word?
Don't speed. And if you do speed, you get pulled over. Be nice. You're like, I want a handshake.
Yeah, I want the word.
Right.
Actually, I do have a tip.
Let's have it.
So if you bring the flight attendant's chocolate, you'll drink for free all the way.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Uh-huh. Someone did that on our flight to Kentucky. They said, we don't want anything back from you, but we did come with these beautiful gift baskets, and they were waited on.
Really?
Yeah.
If you bring us gifts, we'll get you drunk all the way to wherever you're going.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Fudge-centric, like you said.
Hey, Mike, get a Whitman sampler for the ride home. I had the exact opposite thing happen. I think I was flying American back when first class was sort of first class, and they had the cart, they put the cart on the bulkhead, and I was sitting in the very first seat of first class. So it was just like the bulkhead in front of me and the cart with the champagne. The flight attendant was like behind me, like helping other people, getting them coffee and this and the other.
Helping other people.
I kept kind of, looking. The little people. She was helping the little people. And I kept like kind of looking over my shoulder. She was always her back was to me, and she was doing this, that, and the other. We're getting ready to get moving. So at some point, I stood up and I grabbed the champagne bottle and I poured myself like a splash of champagne. And then I heard behind me, excuse you, this is not a self-serve bar. And then I realized, oh, right. But hey, bitch, yeah, if you want to give me some champagne, I wouldn't have done it myself.
It's ultimately going to end up on my lap anyway.
I just poured it and I sat down. And then I was punished for the rest of the flight because you guys don't forget.
You're vindictive.
I'm with Southwest.
But the good news is I was traveling with my buddy who was sober. And so, like, she'd come by and she'd, like, say to my buddy, like, we'd like anything to drink? And I'd be like, double Bloody Mary. Like, double Bloody Mary. And then she'd give me the stink eye and walk away.
It was
then
a Jeff Dunham situation.
She'd give it to him and I'd just slide it over to me. So the joke was on her and my liver. That's the way I recall it. All right. So Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. Is that what we're going to play? All right.
You guys know
the Rotten Tomatoes game.
You guys know Rotten Tomatoes, the website?
Rotten Tomatoes is a website. Okay. Rotten Tomatoes gives a score for every movie. They have the critic score, and we shall guess in advance what the score is. We'll write it down, and whoever's closer and has the lowest score at the end of five movies wins, sort of like golf, looking for the lowest score. So
this is a golfing people, they'll understand.
Yeah, you guys know how to golf, right? This is a golf country. And also we will probably be playing for three of you, shall we? Yeah, I'm gonna
hell not.
I'm gonna play for my my little stewardess over here. And if you win, you're gonna get some drink coupons to a Southwest flight.
I'm marginally good at this game. Who would like me to play for them? All right, you got it, sir. And Brian?
I don't want to play for anybody. Nobody deserves it here.
He plays for himself.
The guy up there in the front row in the second section.
All right.
That gentleman.
And we're playing for Southwest drink coupons, remember?
What is your name, sir?
Unless we have some swag.
We got merch.
Oh, we got some swag. All right, we'll play for a Southwest t-shirt then. No, we'll play for Adam Carolla Show. You want to do for a t-shirt or hat or something like that?
Yeah, we'll do a signed book, too.
We'll do a signed book.
La la.
Okay. We don't have underwear yet, today. But we're working on it. All right, Dawson, you ready?
Yeah, even though it's hotter than hell right now, we're somehow just a few days away from Halloween night. Every year, the choice is yours. Dress up with your friends, take your kids trick-or-treating, or just stay home and watch a scary movie. So in honor of that great tradition for antisocial people everywhere, tonight we're featuring famous horror movies.
Tough one.
Our first film terrified audiences everywhere by telling the story of a strange video that would kill you 7 days after you watch it. Can Naomi Watts survive the creepy long-haired girl stalking her from the TV? Find out if you dare in 2002's The Ring.
Saw it in the theater.
Really good movie.
Scared me more when I got home that night. It's a story that you guys are aware of, but you and the audience aren't aware of, you at home and us on stage are aware of, but I just, you guys seen that movie? You know that movie goes? You watch the TV, you put in a tape.
Cassette.
I think you,
VHS tape.
Cassette. It's kind of dated. It's a laser disc. And anyway, there was a power outage the night that I saw it, and when I woke up at 4 a.m, my TV was on, and it was on full volume, and there was a man's voice screaming, and it was in the next room, and I basically lived that movie in real life, and it scared the bejesus out of me. All right,
a preacher speaking of bejesus.
Yeah, it was. It was a crazy perfect storm of badness that happened to me in my Hollywood home when I was living alone at the time. Now I'm married, I would have just kicked my wife out of the bed and told her to go explore and then locked the door behind her. But at the time, I had to go down solo. All right, this movie was good, yeah, right?
Very good.
And it was like scary and it kind of worked. And I don't see any reason why.
Horror movies sometimes get a ding, but also sometimes get a little more than they should because they're kind of master the genre, you know what I mean?
Horror movies do, it's like, comedies normally are graded lower.
Right.
Horror movies either go a little too low or a little too high.
Right.
You know?
So where's the sweet spot for The Ring?
Where's the sweet spot? Okay.
You can just go first.
All right. I'm going to say it was fresh at 78.
I went a little higher. I think it's a really good movie. 88.
I've never seen it, but you people are still talking about it, so that must mean something. I said 84.
The Ring, or Ringu, as it was called in Japan.
That's right.
Is fresh at 71%.
Oh, okay. It's too low.
Yes, good movie. They're
very
tough.
Effective.
They're tough. Yeah, you guys should. You know, we should show that instead of No Safe Spaces. Actually, it's a good movie. I wouldn't mind seeing
it. Both scary.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to the story of a scared little boy who sees dead people. Featuring the ultimate twist from M. Night Shyamalama Ramalama Ding Dong. Spoiler alert, Bruce Willis is actually a pretty good actor. 1999's The Sixth Sense.
I'll never get over his hairpiece.
Has M. Night come back now? Is he back?
So, not Glass, but the one Split was a huge hit. One of those profitable films of all time. It was cost like $8 million and made like $200 million.
Yeah, I'm confused about that.
It was above average. I don't think it was a great movie, but he's for all intents and purposes, he's back.
But was it one of those things where he worked his whole life on The Sixth Sense and they said, we love it, we'll take eight more, and he just wasn't ready to crank out eight more?
Well, The Sixth Sense was so great, number one. That's a hard thing to deal with. Number two, he tried to do the same thing over and over, and that just kept biting him in the ass. It kept getting worse and worse, little by little.
But does this happen, like, in music, like The Knack's second album?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you have 12 years to do your first album, and then you have 9 months to turn around your second one, and of course, you're disappointed.
Yeah, it's always going to fail just a little bit. When I saw The Village on a date, when that one came out, uproarious laughter during the twist, so I don't think people were scared.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it got silly after a while.
Okay. M. Night shouldn't put himself in every movie.
No,
right?
He should not.
No, he should not.
No, he most certainly should not.
All right, but this one,
Sixth Sense, is a goddamn masterpiece, and the movies that came after it have lessened it in the minds of people. It's a fucking amazing movie.
And you got Donnie Wahlberg in the first five.
Donnie Wahlberg is great.
Okay, so
goddamn masterpiece.
With that, for that, watch The Lord's Name in Vain in front of all the MAGA hats, would you please, there, heathen, from Hollywood?
Yeah.
Okay, with your alternative lifestyle.
Holly weird.
And your they buddies in your comedy class. We get it. He's woke. All right, I'm going to say 92.
I said 92 as well.
I went much lower at 91.
The Sixth Sense, or Ringu, as it was known in Japan.
I knew it.
Certified fresh at 86%.
Oh, that's bullshit.
They're tough, man.
Great movie.
I know. Who were the 14%ers? They were like
not
no.
For me. No, not impressed.
Not impressed.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that, or it's so famous for the twist. It's a great movie without the twist. Like before, it's well done.
All right.
Scream, The Shining, The Blair Witch Project, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Obviously, when you hear those titles, the first thing that comes to your mind is the Wayans brothers. Freaky films get a raunchy roast with a cast led by breakout star Anna Faris in 2000's Scary Movie.
Her first movie, Anna Faris' first film.
Weren't there a baker's dozen of scary movies after that?
Well, there's 12 more coming out in the next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you're a big Anna Faris fan.
She's great. I love this movie. I genuinely love this movie.
I've been to her home in Hollywood Hills.
Oh, yeah? You
it
did
was
her
nice.
Before or after Chris Pratt?
Just before. I think I may have pushed him over the edge. I actually should have stayed. You know what I mean? Because they're probably...
Bide your time.
I could have hung out. Nice life over there. It is a weird thing. Like, you know you're... It's interesting in a non-gay way, but an interesting way... Anna Faris is a beautiful blonde celebrity, and I showed up at her house, and I was like, where's your husband? Which is weird, right?
Yeah.
Because if I showed up at, like, Farrah Fawcett's house in 1979, I wouldn't be like, where's Ryan? I'd be like, yeah. I
thought you were Lee Majors.
I'd hope he was gone, or Lee Majors, or whomever. All right. He dated Ryan O'Neill later. All right. All right, what was this
Have
one
you
again?
Scary movie, the spoof.
Yeah,
movie
it was considered funny, right?
I fucking love this movie.
Oh, don't listen to him.
Genuinely love it. It's got to be in the 90s.
All right, it's not, but it's still funny. Like,
sure,
they did a good job on it. It's
peak Wayans brothers. Like it's them at their best.
Yes, it's peak Wayans brothers.
So go do with that what you will.
All right, I'm going to ask the older gentleman in the Make America Great Again hat, to rank his top 14 Wayne's Brothers movies. One being the best.
Yeah.
And we'll just, I'll cut you off at 14 or 15.
We'll,
but
sir, we'll give you White Chicks.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, we'll give you White Chicks. Yeah. All right. What's number two? Just don't know coaching. The gentleman in the Make America Great hat again. Just from 1 to 14. Eventually, we need to cut you off. Okay. So, I don't know why you guys are laughing. I'd like an honest answer. I'm going to say...
Please say little man.
I'm going to say...
Little man.
Wasn't that the one where he played like a baby or something?
I would be the worst Wayne's brother ever.
Yes, you would.
I really would. And not for the obvious reasons. But when Marlon or Tito or whoever Sean. The other Wayne tried to, like, LaToya tried to pitch to me, like, I got a movie. What are we going to do? We are going to get in prosthetics. We're going to color skin. We're going to be in full drag for the full 81-day shoot. Right. I'd be like, I'm out.
Yeah, no,
I'm out. I'm not hitting the makeup chair at 4 a.m. every day so we can make a C-minus movie. I'm out. Let's make a documentary. All right.
That could be C-minus.
I'm going to say they're always, it's got to be rotten because it's a comedy. It was kind of fun. 55.
Ooh, shit. Interesting.
You went higher than me. I thought I went high at 51.
Mm. I'm the eternal optimist over here. I figured it was just fresh at 66.
Wow.
66.
Scary movie is rotten.
Oh, no.
And 53.
Ooh, wow. It's a close game.
Considering what that movie is and how the critics react to those kind of movies, that's a good score.
Yeah, it's a good score. Has ever been a movie on a Southwest flight?
No.
Never. No movies.
Not even the little flip down screen?
No. The boarding process is the movie.
You guys going to start going to Hawaii again? Or are the planes still falling out of the sky?
They go to Hawaii now.
Okay.
That's great.
Mm. I kind of like the idea of Southwest to Hawaii because, you know, you fly like American and you fly first class. You're in a reclining seat. You got a Mai Tai in your hand. You got a full belly.
Vacation started.
You've been watching first run movies the whole time. You get off the plane. It's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Like, you get out of a Southwest flight in Maui.
Oh, thank Christ.
You kiss the ground.
Hug the chick that gives you the lay and
you
start
put the
crying.
Lay on her.
That's right. You treat it like, you know, like when the hostages come back from Iran, you know, they just kiss the
fall
ground.
To their knees.
They fall to their knees.
It's an Argo situation.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be you. Yeah, I like that. It's a relative thing. You know what I mean? All right. Let's see. Wait, what movie?
Our next film.
Mm.
In the opening scenes of it, a young boy murders his sister and is sent to a mental hospital.
Ooh.
Fine. 15 years later, the psychotic man escapes, returns to his hometown for a disturbing Halloween massacre.
Mike Myers?
Jamie Lee Curtis and Donald Pleasance star in 1978's Halloween.
Mm. I've never seen this movie.
Oh, yeah. Man, it was a big one.
It was too scary when I was a kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just never got around to
saw it. I'll tell you how scary this movie was. I saw it in a movie theater. Is it really 1978? I was probably like in the ninth grade or something. I saw it in the movie theater. I wasn't on a date. I did a lot of things that weren't quite dates. It was more like I sat next to somebody I liked, but they didn't know what was going on. I feel like my marriage is that way in a lot of ways. Like, there's a woman who lives in my house.
Yeah, she's around.
She's not a fan, but she's there.
We're in the same bed.
I'm not really sure what's going on.
But I sat. Now, so the thing about the first Halloween is it had a lot of... It was the first, well, not the first, but one of the early startle movies, like startles, like Jamie Lee's like sitting on the sofa, like, oh, finally, I've killed him. Finally.
Right.
Like here's my thing. If I have a homicidal maniac chasing me around a house for 45 minutes and I finally choke them out and they collapse, I don't just sprawl out on the first beanbag in the house.
That was
I take
crazy.
It out to the lawn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just one of those things. It's sort of like if the house was on fire and I put the fire out, I go out to the lawn to meet the firemen. I don't just lay down on the bed and light a cigarette. That's what she did.
Yeah.
She sat on, spoiler alert, but like she plopped out on the sofa and went like,
Hey, thank God that's over.
Thank God it's over. Even though there's 21 minutes left, thank God that's over. And then he popped up, you know, from behind and sit next to Phyllis Tyler.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
She farted. That's how good this movie was. Just a little burp. It's like, that's fart? How you ladies show that you're scared. You know?
Fart. That's called a fear.
Yeah, it was a fear. She feared it. Like, you know how you like shart every once in a while? She yeah. feared it. Like, she just went, like, we're sitting there and it popped up and Phil was like, and I was like, oh, man.
She was fartled.
Yeah, she was fartled. Scared the air out of her.
Did you respect it?
There's a no, but you know what I did?
Give her a fist bump.
It's kind of like when the hot chick gets a zit. You're like, oh, I think I'm a little closer to banging
right.
her now.
Stars, they're just like us.
Yeah, like if only you were in some sort of industrial accident, yes. then we could date, you know?
If you have some deficiency.
Yeah, if you got your head caught in a press or something, or arm taken off by a punch lathe or sure. something, you know yeah. what I mean?
A little closer to your lead.
Maybe we could yeah. date, right. So it made her a little more human, a little more accessible to me. By the way, the Phyllis, you know those stories when you're a kid? Who has like a really good, oh, I was so embarrassed story? Like from, you know, you're a kid, like yeah, the not yeah, ball.
Yeah. Not Brian Bishop.
Not Brian
oh,
Bishop.
Yes. Well, not Brian Bishop, but actually speaking of farting, remember we did... Gino, you're a little you're quite a bit younger than I am.
Thank you.
But you probably remember where we did like the president's physical fitness stuff. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like, you had to mm-hmm. do sit ups and the sit and reach yep, and like yep, all, yep. all just the crazy exercise that made you do. And we were doing sit ups in the classroom. For some reason, it might have been raining. It might have been that time of year where it was raining. We were doing sit ups like in the classroom, and it was the kind where someone would sit on your feet, right?
They'd hold oh, the yeah, feet down. Oh yeah, hold the feet down.
And I'm doing the sit ups. All of a sudden, it was like.
And you just kept going.
At a certain point, I think the teacher took mercy on me and excused me. Like, Brian, you can go to the bathroom, which was worse. That made it worse.
I was.
I was fourth grade.
Phyllis's brother John was a few years older than me, and they lived down the street. And Phyllis was blonde and really cute, and she was like a cheerleader, and she was a year older, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Now it's problematic, but back then, if you're a year older than me, that was cool, yeah. right? So I went over to her house, and it was like at night. I was there to like see him or something, and he was kind of in the next room. Kind of watching TV. And I remember sitting down in a rocking chair in front of a fireplace at night. And Phyllis just came in and she was all sexy and wearing sweats and blah, blah, blah. And for some reason,
wearing her sexy sweats.
And for some reason, she sat on my lap. Oh, while boy. I was on the rocking oh, chair boy. In front of the fireplace, and she was just the like moment. Rocking back and forth with me in this fire. And I was like 15. She was 16 and popular and like hot. And I was like, I was going out of my
Your
mind.
Penis exploded.
Yes, I was going out of my mind. And at some point she was like, I'm going to go to the kitchen and get us a Dr. Pepper. You want a Dr. Pepper? It's like, oh yes, very much, ma'am. You know, and she got up
lady.
And she got up and she like walked away, or maybe even like the phone rang or something. She's like, oh, let me get that. And she like got up and she walked away. And I got up and I was like, Armenian woman at a funeral. Like I was like fanning myself. Tears were coming down my cheeks. I was like, oh, what do I do? I had like half a boner. You know, I was like trying to adjust, sure. readjust
Keep it. Up, yeah.
I like walked away. I was trying to walk it off a little. Like I was trying to somehow get my bearing straight, whatever. And I was like 8 feet away from the rocking chair. And I heard her like hang up the phone and start walking down the hall. Like they had like the hardwood old creaky floor house. And I heard like, okay, bye bye. And I hung up the phone. I heard her coming and I was like, oh crap. And I did like a shoulder roll and jumped back into the rocking chair and pretended like I just sort of
casual.
Just chillaxing the whole time. Yeah. Oh, it's you. Oh, we're back already.
Right, you're here.
Didn't even notice you. And she's like, oh, I'm back. And she sat back on my lap. And her brother, John, had been watching the entire time. Like, he was in the next room just looking, like, through the door. And he saw me get up and, like, do the hokey pokey and adjust my junk. And then he saw me sprint back to the chair and jump in it all casual and look like, oh, what are you doing here?
And oh, it's you.
Soon as she sat down, I was like, oh, you're back already. And John just came flying out of the room screaming, you should have seen him. He heard you coming. He did a shoulder roll. He dove back into it, and I was like,
John, sold you out.
God damn, was that humiliating?
You're like a walking John Hughes movie.
Yes, yes, it's exactly it was, except for John Tyler.
Your ducky.
Just came out of the room screaming and laughing.
He has zero bro code.
And by the way, what do you say at that point? That's a falsehood. That's patently false.
That's four Pinocchios.
It's like, the Pinocchio was in my pants, and that was it. It was like, it was so clear what I'd just done. Anyway, where were we? She farted.
Halloween. 1978's Halloween.
It's a fun movie. It's good. It's good. You have to see it. You see it in the theater, it'll get you. I think they liked it. I think it was a scary movie. It was well done. Jamie Lee was good. 71.
I played it safe. That's 74.
68.
Halloween is certified fresh at 96%.
Oh, my good God.
Higher than Sixth Sense.
That's crazy.
It's a classic.
I can't say it's crazy. I've never seen it, but I never assumed that it would
be. It's considered a classic. I think you don't look cool if you don't say it's the best scary movie ever made.
Wow, that pumped us all. It has been a while since one of us has gotten the number spot on, right?
There's been a while since a 5-point deduction.
We get a 5-point deduction if you nail the number spot on. It feel like if this was a blackjack table, I'd get up and leave. Like, it'd been too long since somebody...
No, you double down. Those 21s
double
are coming.
Down. Those 21s are coming. All right, here it comes. Is this the last one?
This is our last movie.
It's a close game.
I think you have a little lead.
Did you know that there have been 7... Chucky movies.
Oh, no, very much.
Technically
not.
8, if you count this year's reboot where Chucky hacks your smartphone. That's real.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back to the original. Back before Bride of Chucky, Curse of Chucky, Cult of Chucky, and yes, even before Seed of Chucky. 1988's Child's Play.
Oh, the OG, yeah?
All right. See.
Was Jennifer Tilly in all of them or just Bride of Chucky? I don't remember. Okay, I'll Google it.
Third best Jennifer Tilly I've heard today.
That Southwest flight attendant had a good one.
Yeah? Jennifer Tilly.
No, okay. The one on our flight.
Okay. Oh, yeah, she was good. And then when the guy told me the plane was totally full, his was pretty good.
And his Jennifer Tilly voice.
Yeah. But this third, well, since we've been in Arizona first.
That's very nice.
Okay. Now, here's what's going on. This game is close. Yeah. We're within a few.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of movie that's campy and quirky and sort of okay and whatever. Yeah. And it could be 51, but it could also be 15. 9,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I don't know, man.
We gotta go big or we gotta go small.
It's close.
I think I saw parts of this movie. Like, they gotta give it up for some camp and some
it's
sort of
camp.
Fun.
Yeah, that's the whole franchise. It's a dumb looking Cabbage Patch Kid.
I'm going to go 39.
Oh, shit. I'm pretty close to you. 22.
I'm pretty close to you. 39.
Wow.
I think this is really bad.
Great boobs think alike.
Right?
Child's Play is fresh.
Oh,
no, it's not.
At 67%.
Wow. Shut your face. That's not true.
I'm sorry, man.
Wow.
I think we all lost tonight.
Wow.
22 points, 32 points, I'm sorry. No, yeah, no, 22 points separates our winner from our losers.
Yeah. Ooh.
I didn't do well.
And that loser is Bald Brian with 92.
Wow.
That's
third place, dude.
Bad times.
Yeah, he's fine in studio, but you get him in front of 9 people. He folds like a deck chair.
I'm like, I need the 12th man. Seahawks, my home team.
Adam Carolla had a pretty good score of 68.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention Bald Brian, third place?
You can't mention it.
Score 92.
I do like when I do not well at this game, because it's a real loser holiday. Everyone seems to enjoy it.
Leaving us Gina Grad.
Yeah.
Gina Grad, your score came right in between the goalposts for second place.
Oh.
At 87, the Ace Man wins with the 68.
Yeah, that's why I get to co-star in documentaries.
God damn it, this game sucks.
Let's see. I'm going to sign this book to
Child's Place Fresh.
Whom I don't know, but it's now signed and fresh. Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to hit the cash roll, and then we'll do a little news, and then we'll fire up the film. You guys with me on that? Is this 30 or 30 second? All right. Castrol Edge. Ah, heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob your engine. Maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of engine performance. Three times, Brian.
Three times, fool.
Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading full synthetics. It is Castrol Edge. Edge, everybody. Yeah, we got Brian. Thank All right, let's do a little news, Gina Grand.
Let's do it. You guys remember Joe Francis? Yes, does that name sound familiar?
He's a great guy.
The girls, they've gone wild.
Well, girls that guy, you know the thing that's funny? He's a USC alum.
Indeed. Proud USC alum.
That guy, before he started The Girls Gone Wild, he did the Faces of Death.
Too hot for TV.
Whatever.
If
you ever want to see European moms get hit by commuter trains at full speed, those were the videos, the weird death videos. I always felt that was weird. Like, it's weird to be attracted to sort of the macabre. I get the Chucky and sort of the fantasy part of it, but the part where people are really eaten by alligators and fall off a scaffolding to their death.
Was there never a time because when I was like 13, I guess, I thought that was like Faces of Death. Have you seen Faces of Death? Like, was there ever a sliver of your life?
I would have watched it, but I always had this weird thing. Like, when I was a kid, whenever I saw movies where people were incarcerated, I felt bad for the people who are incarcerated. I watched Roots. I felt bad for all the black people in Roots. Like, I always felt bad for everybody. Yeah. And so this was the real version of that. And I had enough. My childhood was miserable enough without seeing any more of it. So,
and no Schadenfreude for you. Like, oh, at least I'm not getting hit by a bullet train right now. I'm
I always found it to be a very bad sort of human character to see some ill that happened to somebody else or a car accident or somebody get injured or hurt or whatever.
Or an 18-year-old who got tricked into taking her top off and going into a shower.
Well, that's good. Oh, no, that's okay. Healthy.
Sorry.
No, that's
fine.
I'm
on the wrong track.
No, I don't like the Schadenfreude thing. My life is my life. Your life is your life. Your life getting worse doesn't make my life better.
Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone.
That's right. Thank you, Billy. That being said, I wouldn't mind if Kimmel cooled it a little bit in the success department. You know, it's been a pretty good run. We get it. You're successful. Now just peel it back a couple of notches. But other than that, no, I don't. And I didn't like seeing people getting hurt or injured or any of that stuff.
Well, Joe had a very wild experience in Mexico last week. That's where he's cooling his heels, hanging out. The businessman was nearly abducted, according to TMZ, with several men with guns busted into his home, took everyone's money, tried to kidnap everyone, him and his group of friends. He was at a neighbor's home in Punta Mita with about 20 other people.
I've been there.
When five armed men stormed in, threatening to take hostages.
Hold on. This is not the Mexico I know.
Yeah, I know. This is one of those one-offs. The victims were tied up with wire. They were robbed. Fortunately, neighborhood security had a scuffle with the gunmen, and then they fled the area.
Can I say this about our neighbors? Canada is going like, we've invented a fifth bathroom for people, all right? There's a gender that we've invented, a fifth gender. We've told everyone in Air Canada, no more ladies and gentlemen, just passengers and whatever. They are just going off the progressive, deep end, super woke, deep end of the pool. I feel like Mexico is essentially turning back the clock and we're having some sort of shoot it out in the street Old West kind of wartime. As a country, what are we to do? You know what I mean? I wish they could kind of get on the same page. Like, it would be nice to kind of go, look, what direction are we going?
We're being tugged in.
You guys are having drug cartels shoot it out in the streets with federales. You guys are over here trying to invent something between a penis and a vagina. You're trying to do a Reese's peanut butter cup with penis and vagina. What is it? What's going on? And how did we get stuck between these two? Yeah. Like, wouldn't it be nice if we're just somebody was off next to us that was a little more like Canada? Like, oh, we got Canada over here, and then we got something kind of like Canada over there. What's the wild swing?
It's either extreme.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's top of the bottom.
The cosmic balance.
Well, I'm saying, like, if you'd have a hard time finding something more extreme than Canada in Mexico.
On the other side.
How do we get caught in between these two crazy bookends?
It's the angel and the Diablo on our shoulders.
That's right. All right. So they took him.
Yeah. And just in case you're wondering what he's doing in Mexico, is he just down there for a whirlwind weekend, just having a vacation? No, he's hiding out in Mexico after he failed to comply with the terms of his bankruptcy agreement and an arrest warrant was issued.
Yeah.
So, he's going to be okay.
Is there, did they get hold of him? Did they abduct him or they tried to abduct him?
No, the security guard from the neighbors next door tackled the,
also, you can't abduct Joe Francis because he's so greasy. He just slides.
You
can't try to get that guy in a headlock. He slides right out. There's no trunk that can hold him. He'll go out through the keyhole.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So since we're in a movie theater, I thought you guys should know, very important, there was talk that Quentin Tarantino would add more scenes to his ninth movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and that is happening, according to Deadline.com. So just in time for award season, it's being reported that Sony will re-release the movie in around 1,500 theaters with four never-before-seen scenes. Meanwhile, it was reported that Leonardo DiCaprio would run in the Best Actor Oscar category, Brad Pitt, in supporting.
Mm.
I don't, so it's going to be longer.
It's more about... Man, I don't like that
Did
at all.
Did Leo do a lot of work in that film?
It's more about Brad Pitt. He's the one who goes to Spawn Ranch. He's the one who goes on the roof and then sees the... It's more about him. Than
Leo just kind of hung out and smoked, right?
It was good, but it was more Brad Pitt's story.
Yeah, that's
he
more
was the
just,
one who picked up the hitchhiker. Like he did all the whole...
Yeah, why is Leo being nominated for
Unclear.
This?
Unclear.
Mm. Yeah, like
because
I
in the movie, he plays
in the movie,
lead.
He's the movie star. Yeah.
Brad...
That's so dumb.
It is dumb because Pitt did more. Leo kind of looked period correct and hung out and looked cool and everything, but didn't really do a lot of heavy lifting in that movie.
It shouldn't be up to the studios who they want to put up.
Well, maybe in the four never-before-seen scenes, they'll clarify that. Maybe there'll be more Leo-heavy scenes.
Yes.
That's what's coming out.
All right.
A 44-year-old woman in England is expecting a baby. Okay, mazel tov, go with God, not news. But what does make this story newsworthy is that Sue and her 48-year-old husband, Noel, are on their 22nd child. The Radfords...
Oh, white people. Right? Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead.
They are white people. They run a bakery. They have children ranging from
She's
age.
Running a bakery out of her legs.
There's always one in the oven.
Jesus Christ, there's always a bun going down there.
The ages of the kids are 30 to 1, and they regularly vlog about their very large brood.
Can I say this? At some point, it becomes child abuse, right?
Yeah, it depends.
Because the rest of us
abuse, too. Neglect, at the very least.
Listen, when you're like, when you're calling your 17th kid, hey, what's his nose? Pass the salt at dinner. You know what I mean? Like, I they don't know all their names.
How much attention are you giving those kids, you know, individually?
First off,
you're a bad guy.
I give my kids less than they do, but it's still, I hire a nanny. She smothers them with love and food sometimes.
That's right. So now this is a little weird because according to the Daily Mail, they did declare that they were done last year and Noel had a vasectomy after the ninth kid. Clearly he reversed it. Mm-hmm. If you want to know all their names, because I assure you they don't. Chris, Sophie, Chloe, Jack, Daniel, Luke, Millie, Katie, James, Ellie, Amy, Josh, Max, Tilly, Oscar, Casper, Hallie, Phoebe, and Archie.
Casper's a good name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got and then a nephew one on the way. Casper. I don't like, I don't like the man getting involved, but you got to put a cap on the kids. That's too many. And I don't know how many of them are going to be on the dole, but I bet there's going to be a few with their hands open trying to get the government to pay for something. I don't like that.
Just the odds alone. Yeah.
All right, let's do one more.
You got it. Well, police across the country are expressing concern about a new feature coming to Google Maps that I think is pretty great. Allows users around the world to track in real time location where officers are hiding.
Waze does that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. A new effort to compete with Waze, which is owned by Google. Google Maps is adding a new feature to its update, including the ability to see where officers are catching speeders. But you're going to love this. Police organizations have called for Google to hold off on releasing it, saying it could tip off drunk drivers and let terrorists know where they are.
Yeah, terrorists in vans driving their kids to soccer practice at 9 a.m. on a Sunday. Those terrorists.
Those are the ones, I think so.
Listen, here's the deal, cops. You guys got to bring back the policeman's ball. Because I realize there's a lot of fundraising going on the highways and byways. And the problem is the cars work too well. Like, we drove over here in a new Chevy Suburban or whatever. Yeah. We're doing 50 miles an hour on a 35, and it felt fine because the car's fine and the road's fine and the windows are up and the air conditioning's blasting and we're drunk. It's easy. So you guys can't. Here's my – all right, would you guys be down with this – concept. No hiding to give tickets.
Yes.
If you are on patrol, like you're just out there looking for Crips and Bloods and gangbangers and making sure folks' homes didn't get broken into, you're just out there walking the beat or driving the beat out on patrol, and somebody swerves in front of you or blasts past you or speeding or whatever it is, that is fine. But if you're hiding behind a shrub with a radar gun, you are not out on patrol. You're out to write tickets, and we're not paying you to write tickets. We're paying you to thwart crime.
We talked about it just yesterday or the day before, the example, I forget the one example, but like the morning after pill. Like, what do you really want to accomplish? Do you really want, like, this thing can solve your problem, but you don't really want it? I forget what the other example was, but if the goal is to keep the roads safe, get people to drive slower, less, you know, speeding, put the cops out in plain sight. If you see a cop, you know, down the road, you're going to slow down. But the hiding is obviously you're not trying to slow people down. You're trying to give people tickets.
The worst is when, and by the way, it's always like in the name of safety, which drives me nuts. The worst is you do the grapevine when I go out to Laguna Seca a couple times a year, do a car race. You're driving back on the grapevine, driving some loaded Lincoln Navigator. You're going 90 miles an hour. It feels like nothing. It's a brand new car. It's smooth as silk and blah, blah, blah. You're going north or you're going south. Like you're coming home and you see that a cop going the other direction on the grapevine lit you up with his radar going the other direction. So it's like your combined closing speed's like 185 miles an hour. They light you up, and as they pass you, you have to look in your rear view mirror, and it's bad times when you see the guy hook a Huey. Mm-hmm. The guy drives through the median. The median is like 30 foot of gravel and scrub. Then you see that guy hooks a Huey, drives through the center of the freeway. Then as he's coming, as he peels out to go your direction, he fishtails because he punches it and his rear end slides out, kicks gravel all over the place, goes 120 miles an hour to now catch up to you because you're going 90 the other direction, lights you up, pulls you over. Then he walks up to your window and goes, you know how dangerous that was. And you're like, oh,
I did.
What you did?
Joey Chitwood and your thrills team. Like, you just getting on two wheels coming around the other direction. By the way, if I did what you just did to give me a lecture on safety, I would be thrown in the hole. Like, I would be, if I jumped to the other side of the freeway and decided to go the other direction and kicked gravel all over the place, I would be put in cuffs and dragged behind your car to the closest drunk tank. Would I not?
Absolutely.
So I'm getting a lecture on safety for going 81 miles an hour in a straight line, and you just want full Dukes of Hazzard to catch up to me. In the name of safety. So new rules, no hiding. Write as many tickets as you like. Whatever you find, you find. Whatever somebody, go out and patrol by all means, but no hiding and writing tickets.
That's right.
Thank you, Gina Grad. Thank you. I'm a hero. Let's bring it home.
Should we close it out?
Yes, we shall.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We don't have your
We got nothing, unless you want to sing.
Yes. I am Pavlovian that way. All right. So nosafespaces.com for tickets and show times in a city near you. You can go to nosafespaces.com. We'll start the movie post haste. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo. Yeah.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Get tickets and info on everything you need at AdamCarolla.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.